a beautiful message in that song. And what a beautiful sight with the whole church gathered around the teachers. My. Pauline and I spent a couple of days this past week in our son's classroom getting ready, cleaning out desks and putting up bulletin boards and rearranging things. And I'm always reminded this time of year that Jesus was a teacher. They called him Rabbi. They called him Rabboni. And he had students. Jesus had students. He had lots of followers, but he had 12 hand-picked students. How would you have liked to have been in Jesus' classroom? It was a 3-year course. That had to be fascinating. Peter had to be exasperating for Jesus to have him in the classroom. You probably have seen a list of all the disciples. It's on the screen now, the list of 12. Some of them are well-known, famous, recognizable. Some are you've never heard of them. You have no idea who they were or what they did. There were no books written about them or by them. Some of his students were just but Jesus chose them. He handpicked them. He had a place for them. I want us to turn to John chapter 1 this morning, and I want us to look at a moment when Jesus began to handpick his 12 students, that he was going to spend 3 years investing in them and mentoring them and modeling for them what he hoped they would become. Because he knew that he was going to be leaving and it was going to be left to them to carry on the ministry. So John chapter 1, it starts out by saying the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. Now this isn't John the disciple, this is John the Baptist. This is taking place the day after Jesus had been baptized by his cousin John. So John the Baptist was there with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "Well, what do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." And Andrew brought him, Peter, to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, son of John. We're going to give you a new name. We're going to call you Cephas," which is Peter. Now, what do you know about Peter? Peter is obviously one of the most recognizable characters in the New Testament, probably one of the most famous, well-known characters in the New Testament. We know a lot about him from the biblical report. We know about his temperament. We know about his personality. We know about his behavior, his character. We know a lot about many of the biblical incidents that Peter was a part of. You remember when Jesus came walking on the water, 12 disciples in the boat, 11 of them smart enough to stay in the boat. But Peter got out of the boat. Peter was that kind of a guy, walking on the water, and a few minutes later, sinking like a rock, which kind of is a description of Peter's life. He had high highs, he had low lows, he was always out on the front lines and often getting in trouble for what he was about to do. You remember when Jesus was about to be arrested by the Roman army in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter decided this was not going to happen. And he whipped out his Swiss Army knife, and he started slashing and thrashing and making a mess of things. He actually cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. And Jesus had to say, Peter, time out. Settle down. This is not the way this is going to work out. He picked up the ear, put it on the servant, had to undo what Peter had just done. And Peter, who was ready to take on the whole army to defend Jesus, about 3 hours later was denying that he even knew Jesus. High highs, low lows. Remember one time Jesus had his disciples with him and he said, well, you know, you've been listening. Who do people say that I am? And so they were chatting about that. Some were saying that he was an Old Testament prophet that had come back to life, those kinds of things. And then Jesus said, well, who do you guys think I am? And Peter jumped up. He was the spokesman for the group. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus commended him. And three verses later, Jesus was saying, get thee behind me, Satan. That was Peter. That was Peter. He was just off the charts with consistency issues. He couldn't hold it together. He would do something good, and then he would do something horrible. And then the day of Pentecost came, and he was filled with the Spirit, and his life was changed. As he was filled with the very Spirit of God. And he became a great preacher and a great church leader and a great prophet. There are books written about Peter. There's movies made about Peter. Everybody knows about Peter. So what do you know about his brother, Andrew? The one who brought him to Jesus. Well, we don't know much about Andrew. We know that Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. We know that he was the guy that brought the little kid with the Happy Meal, the fish and chips, to Jesus on the mountainside. You know that story. The place was full, thousands of people there. Jesus had been healing and teaching all day, and it got late in the afternoon, and people were tired, and people were hungry, and Jesus had compassion on the people and said, we need to feed these folks. And the disciples were saying, there's no way. It would take 6 months' wages to give everybody just a bite. We don't know what to do. And Jesus knew what he was going to do, but Andrew was the guy who found the little boy and brought him to Jesus. Andrew, Simon's brother, here's the boy. How far will it go? Well, you saw how far it went. So Andrew, I mean, he's kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. There haven't been any books written about Andrew or movies made about Andrew, but he had a reputation as a bringer. He brought people to Jesus. There was another instance in John chapter 12. There were some Greeks who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. So these Greeks are saying to Philip, sir, we would like to see Jesus. Well, did Philip take him to Jesus? No, Philip went and got Andrew. Andrew was the bringer. He must have had a reputation among the disciples that he was the guy. He was the guy that brought people to Jesus. So Philip went to Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. So the only thing we know about Andrew is that Andrew was a bringer. But Jesus did amazing things with what Andrew brought. Now, I want to introduce you to someone this morning. His name is Jonathan Rigby. He's not here today, but I want to tell you his story, a true story. Now, I did a little genealogical research. I found no link whatsoever between Jonathan Rigby and Eleanor Rigby. Now, you know what? First Service didn't get that at all. Those young people never heard of Eleanor Rigby, but you folks, you know. Well, Jonathan Rigby did not live in Edinburgh, Scotland, but his work took him there every weekend. Every weekend for years. And every Saturday, he would check into the Edinburgh Inn spend the night, Sunday morning, get up, go down to the coffee shop and order breakfast. And while he was waiting for his breakfast to be prepared, he would kind of look around the coffee shop and see if he could spot someone who was sitting by themselves, an individual or a couple. And then he would go over and invite them to come and join him for breakfast, and then ask them if they would like to go to church with him at the Scotland's Memorial Congregational Church, pastored by Reverend Andrew Wyatt. Now, you have to understand that this was a time in history when it wasn't unusual for strangers to strike up a conversation in public places. In fact, it was really the polite thing to do. It wasn't unusual for people who were total strangers, had never met before, to share a table at the pub or at the coffee shop or at the restaurant. This was a time in history when chatting with strangers was a wonderful way to broaden your horizons and to meet new people and learn about new places. So this was perfectly acceptable. In our day and age, we're a little fearful of strangers. We don't want to make eye contact. It was a different time. But this was normal. And Jonathan Rigby did this religiously. Every Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, invite someone to join him for breakfast and invite him to come to church with him. And it's amazing how many people took up his offer and actually went to church. And one Sunday morning, after a wonderful worship service and a strong gospel message by Reverend Andrew Wyatt, Jonathan Rigby's invited guest received Christ as his personal Savior. Rigby was thrilled. He was beside himself. As far as he knew, this was the first time that the person he had invited had actually made a decision for Christ. That afternoon, Rigby was taking a walk, as was his custom on Sunday afternoons, and he was thinking about the morning's events. He was thinking about the message. He couldn't wipe the smile off his face. He was thinking about how his guest had made a decision for Christ and gone forward at the end of the service. And Jonathan Rigby was thinking and smiling and walking and praising the Lord and basking in the afterglow of a beautiful morning. And he noticed he was walking right by the home of Reverend Andrew Wyatt, who was the pastor of that church. He saw the name on the mailbox and he saw the name on the door, and it just hit him. He just thought, I need to let the pastor know what happened this morning. He was so excited. He was so filled with joy. So Rigby knocked. Reverend Wyatt came to the door. Rigby introduced himself, and he said, Pastor, I don't want to bother you. I know you're a busy man. You're probably exhausted after a busy morning, but I just want you to know that I invited someone to church this morning, and at the end of the message, they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and I just thought you would want to know that. And the pastor said, now, wait a minute. What did you say your name was? Well, Rigby. Sir Jonathan Rigby. And Reverend Wyatt's eyes got big, and a smile came across his face, and he said, come on in here. Rigby, come on in. I want to show you something. And he said, Jonathan Rigby, I have been wanting to meet you for a long time. He took him back to his study area, and he went to a filing cabinet, and he took out a file. And this file was literally filled with letters from all over, people who had been invited to Scotland's Memorial Congregational Church by Jonathan Rigby and had given their hearts to the Lord and become born-again Christians. 11 of those letters that the pastor received were from people who were now in full-time ministry as missionaries or as pastors. Now, Jonathan Rigby had never personally prayed with any one of these people. Jonathan Rigby had never shared his testimony with any of these people. All he did was invite him to church and let the Holy Spirit go to work. It was amazing. Dozens and dozens and dozens of people got saved. Their lives were changed for eternity. Heaven was fuller and hell was emptier. Why? Because Jonathan Rigby was a bringer. He invited people to go to church. And it changed their lives. Now, I know it's important for all of us to be able to, you know, share our faith and to help someone understand. In fact, 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that you have. And we do it with gentleness and respect. All of us, that's a responsibility we all have to be able to let people know the difference Jesus has made in our life. But whether or not Jonathan Rigby ever shared his testimony, we know that he was a bringer. He invited people. Like Andrew was a bringer and brought his brother to Jesus and brought the little boy to Jesus and brought the Greek people to Jesus. Jonathan Rigby invited people to church each Sunday. And God blesses bringers. And God uses bringers. And the kingdom is advanced because of bringers. And a couple of questions this morning. Are you a bringer? Would you be willing to be a bringer? Would you be open to the idea of prayerfully, intentionally, on purpose, thinking about someone that you could invite and bring to church? In fact, if I had given you a 3x5 card and a pen or a pencil when you walked in this morning, and I asked you, take a moment and think about someone that God has laid on your heart that you might invite to Bethel Nazarene Church. Now, some of you are thinking, well, yeah, I mean, I'd be open to that, but I want to wait till we get our pastor here. I mean, goodness sakes. Why, how could you invite someone to church if you didn't even know who was going to be preaching that Sunday? I'll wait till the pastor comes. And I'm saying, don't you dare. I've been coming to your church this summer, June, July, August. I've been around long enough to sense the spirit, the atmosphere, the energy, the life of this church. And this is a very unique place, and it's a very special place, and it's a spirit-filled place. And you don't need to know who the pastor is before you invite somebody to come and be a part of this. I mean, you've got a whole valley of people who desperately need what you have and who are hungry for what you have. And they need you to care enough about them to invite them to come. Now, I don't care who the pastor is. God knows he's got that. It's going to be okay. We don't know when that person is going to come. But, you know, some people are saying, well, who cares if there's who's a church and who's not? A couple of verses. Hebrews. Look what Hebrews says. This is what's supposed to happen when we come together. Let us consider how we can spur one another on toward good deeds and love. Not giving up meeting together. God cares that you're together. God wants you to be together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It's all part of God's plan to build his kingdom and to build his church. You benefit from being here, but it also motivates you to recognize that there's other folks who need to be here as well, encouraging one another. You know, when you're together, that's when you bless each other. That's when you encourage each other. That's when you spur one another on. That's when you pray for each other like you did today. That in itself is a huge testimony. And when people see that happening in a church, oh my word, they want to be part of that. and their hearts are tender and the Holy Spirit goes to work. Does it matter at all that these seats are filled up? Jesus told a story in Luke 14, and the moral of the story was this: go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in. Compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Jesus loves it when his house is full and it's standing room only, because he knows that incredible things happen in that kind of an atmosphere. Now, here's another reason why it doesn't matter who's preaching on Sunday morning, and it's no excuse for you to wait till you get another pastor before you invite somebody. In just a second, not yet, I'm going to show you a slide that's the results of a Barna group research program. They talked to thousands of people over several years, and the question basically was, what influenced you to go to church? Okay, don't show that slide yet. I want to tell you that pastors hate this slide. If this was a group of pastors, I could not show this slide because they would chase me right out of the building. Pastors want to think that the only reason people come to the church is to hear them. Well, statistics show the reality is 84% of the people that walk through the door of a church are there not because of the pastor or the ministries or special needs in their life or an evangelistic crusade. 84% come because somebody just like you or Andrew or Jonathan Rigby invited them to come. You hear what I'm saying? Now, because you have such strong ministries, that's going to keep them here. You got great children's ministries. You got great teen ministries. You got ministries for even people my age. I think it's called 30 and over, something like that. Great music. Great music. And somebody will be preaching, but it doesn't matter who. You've got enough going for you so you could invite all sorts of people and they'd fall in love with this place. This church is so welcoming. I wish I lived closer. I would be part of this church. I lost my place. I don't know. It's what I want you to do. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. I want you to be intentional about it. I want you to take some time this week to think, God, is there someone you want me to invite to Bethel Nazarene Church? Is there someone that I could be a light that brought them from their darkness into your light? There was an awful accident at a railroad crossing in the early 1900s. Several fatalities. It was a tragedy. The night watchman who had been at his station that night was a key witness when the trial was held to determine the cause of the crash, who was at fault, and the insurance settlement. And he was on the stand. You know, he wasn't used to being in front of a bunch of people. He was a night watchman. He liked his solitude and being alone. But here he is, finds himself on a witness stand in a big trial, and they're just penetrating him with question after question after question, and he's just sweating. They're saying, were you on duty that night? Were you on time to your post? Was there at any time that you left your post? Were you awake and alert? Had you been drinking? Were you sober? Did you see the train coming? Did you have your lantern with you? Did you wave your lantern? And it went on and on and on. He was just a nervous wreck, but he answered all the questions honestly, as best he could. And after his time on the witness stand, after his testimony, he was being interviewed and debriefed by the company that had hired him. They asked what was the hardest part of being on the witness stand, And he actually broke down and began to weep. And he said, I was so afraid they were going to ask me if my lantern was lit. True story. To which the pastor says, is your lantern lit? Are you prepared to be a light to those in the darkness? John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me won't have to walk in darkness. They'll have light for their life. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. But you know what he did before he went back to heaven? He passed the lantern. He passed the torch. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He's taken his light, filling us with it, and saying, now you take it. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. They put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone. In the same way, Jesus said to you and to me, let your light shine before others. And they can see your good deeds and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Man, this is a good sermon. Now, this next part's a little shaky. You remember that song, This Little Light of Mine? Vacation Bible School, Sunday School. Sing it with me, would you? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine, oh baby, won't let Satan. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So there you go. When you go home and somebody asks you, hey, what was the sermon about today? What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? Let's stand together, shall we? I'd like to close with a benediction and a challenge. May we be brave enough and bold enough to be a bringer like Andrew and like Jonathan Rigby and see what Jesus might do with what we bring. And may we have a holy boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit that would motivate us to intentionally invite someone to Bethel Nazarene Church and see what Jesus might do with what we bring. And may we let our light shine so that others can see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. All in favor say aye. Amen. God bless you. Go and let your light shine. Let your light shine.